we are the nation's first conservation organization, and we save and share special places across Massachusetts. We now have 113 reservations in every corner of the state, and they include gardens, wildlands and woodlands, gorges, waterfalls, beaches, historic homes, and more.
So you're not just open space and that sort of thing?
No. In fact, what our founders were interested in was this idea of comprehensive conservation. So we have always balanced both the preservation side, so thinking of our cultural history and heritage, and the natural as well. So you have everything from the wild open green spaces to stories of Massachusetts history and the people that have made the state home.
Specifically, what are some of the places, what are some of the properties that you own?
Sure. We're perhaps most known for our beaches on both Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and also the North Shore, specifically Cranes Beach. But we have an abundance of places in the Pioneer Valley and the Berkshires, the most iconic probably being Namkeag in Stockbridge, but also the William Cullen Bryant Homestead in Cummington, Field Farm in Williamstown, Ash and Tully in Tieringham, and more. Mount Warner and Monument Mountain being two others that are also well recognized.
How do you decide what's for back of lack of a better way to phrase this, what's worth preserving and what isn't?
That's a great question. We have a set of criteria that evaluate the integrity of the resource, the connection and need of the surrounding population, and the ability to engage people at that place. And so we will score potential lands on these criteria. So one might be evaluated for its agricultural presence, its ecological importance, the value the surrounding community places on the preservation of that place, and the ability of the trustees to care for it in perpetuity. So for Mount Warner, we certainly felt that the community of North Hadley felt passionate, knew this place, valued it, and that it would be an important center of recreation and also solace and reflection for people in the decades ahead. And that's an example of one that is looked at from a variety of perspectives, not just the land itself, but the benefit it provides to improving the quality of life for the people near it.
And I assume it's beneficial in a lot of these cases to try to put large tracts of property together. And how difficult is that to do, given the fact that you must have to deal with multiple owners?
Sure. I mean, large landscape conservation is always a challenge, specifically in a densely populated state like ours. We're fortunate to be a partner in the larger land conservation community. So the state has 160 land trusts working. And while we're proud to be the first, we think it is the multiple of our local partners, places like the trustees and Mass Audubon, working in concert with the state to do this landscape protection well. I don't think any one entity can embark on such a complicated and obviously long-term project. And so we're fortunate in the state to have what I would say is a very collaborative effort that benefits us all.
So is there more out there that you'd like to see preserved?
Sure. We're constantly evaluating projects. I would say in any given year, we look at, let's say, 80 to 100 different lands that come to us, either from community members that call us or ones that we hear about under threat. And we work to think about if those are correct for the trustees or better with a local land trust, or in some cases, are they better off in limited development capacities? So it's a very active process. For us, our focus has been on communities that need access to open green space. So increasingly, we're working in underserved neighborhoods. And one example of that is a lot of our work in Holyoke in the past 10 years, where we have created three reservations there. But we look, again, on that criteria and put our time and effort where we think it can add most value to conservation in the Commonwealth.
You mentioned Holyoke, and I was going to ask you, do you do much preservation work in urban areas, in urban centers?
We do. It's hard. It's obviously expensive and complicated. An example of a project in the last year would have been protecting 6 acres in New Bedford, Massachusetts. It was certainly a gateway city that needs access to green space, 6 acres being incredibly important to the community there that was further than 2 miles away from any other green space. So that is an example of a project that we're really proud of. That being said, we still maintain a commitment to both rural and suburban. So we added acreage to Monument Mountain last year as well, protecting what we call Flag Rock, which is the Great Barrington side of Monument Mountain, but do have an eye on cities that do not have the kind of equal access that we feel every community should have, but also adding acreage to our existing reservation portfolio.
So May, I'm told, is being observed as Preservation Month. What activities does your organization have for the public that are special this month?
Sure. We think that historic preservation is fun and exciting and relevant, and so we're encouraging people to go and see our historic homes. We promise that they're not the dusty historic homes that one might think of, but really vibrant places that have a lot of exciting activities. And so in celebration of National Preservation Month in May, we are having what we're calling Home Sweet Home on May 31st, which is a Sunday from 10 to 5. And there is the one time of the year where you can access our 11 houses for free, and we'll have a variety of different walks, events, games, and activities, both for adults and families. And so encourage you to go and see a place that you might not have been in the last 5 or 10 years, and also go and view a home that you might not have heard of before, such as Field Farm in Williamstown, which I think is a great example of a historic home that is in 1940s architecture, so feels much more like Mad Men, and very beautiful architecture and a fascinating story of the people that live there.
And you mentioned the Bryant Homestead in Cummington, and that's not normally open to the public, correct? But it is now for a limited period of time.
Yes, and we're fortunate to work with volunteers to be able to open the home on May 31st, and it's a great opportunity to be able to take a historic house tour and hear the story of William Cullen Bryant. The trustees were able to receive Bryant's original papers last year that had been on loan to Williams College for some time, and so I'd really encourage listeners to get out to the Bryant Homestead in Cummington and see that place.
And all the information, of course, would be available on your website, which is what?
www.thetrustees.org. And it's the celebration of the day is called Home Sweet Home on May 31st.